Welcome in to this episode of Mouthing Off with Mike, the only wrestling podcast that is a better cook than you. Debate me later. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode, we've got a special guest. I've got Kicking It with Leo here. You can check out all of his information in the description of this episode. He's going to come help me talk about Raw, NXT, the final Mouth Off. I'm going to cover SmackDown AEW programming this week. So ladies and gentlemen, coming off the heels of a massive backlash in Lyon, France, we're back in the States here for some WWE action right here on Mouthing Off with Mike. So sit back, relax, and let Leo and myself talk to you about the graps. Welcome in to this episode of Mouthing Off with Mike. And if you're watching here on the YouTube portion of the channel, you'll see that we've got a new face here on Mouthing Off with Mike. I'm going to let him introduce himself. So my man, my newest good brother, Leo, tell the people where they can find you, who you are, and what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, so I am Kicking It with Leo. If you guys don't know, I am a wrestling content creator. I've been doing wrestling content creator for about 4 years now, almost. So I've been in the game for quite some time. But I'm very excited to talk wrestling, all things WWE, you know, talk about my journey and all these different things. You guys can go follow my channel, Kicking with Leo, in the comment section down below. As he'll probably drop down a link and everything like that. You can find me on TikTok, Instagram. I'm also on X, but I'm trying to stay consistent on TikTok. I'm trying to post a little bit more on there for you guys, so just definitely be patient with me, but definitely we'll be posting more stuff on there in the future.
Hell yeah, my man. I love to hear it. Thank you for coming on Mouthing Off with Mike. I know we collabed with Over the Top Talk a few months ago, and There was some chatting about, you know, we got to get a collab set up, so I'm glad everything came to fruition here. And make sure you do follow Leo. All his information will be in the description of the audio as well as the video information. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, Leo, so the fans here at Mouthing Off with Mike can get a little bit more insight into who you are. Yeah. What got you into wrestling?
So actually, my dad got me into wrestling. And it's crazy. A lot of people will ask me this question all the time. How long have I been a wrestling fan? And it's crazy to think I'm literally 23 years old, going on 24. But I've been watching wrestling since I was 3. So I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years. It's crazy to think, like, I've been watching wrestling for this long. I've seen the ups and the downs, the good moments and the not so good moments in wrestling. But it's just one of those things that I would say that's part of my personality and who I am. Something that I'm very vocal about being. This is something I'm very passionate about. Anybody who's been near me in any type of way know that I am a wrestling fan through and through.
Yes, sir. I love to hear it, man. I can relate to that with my pops, you know, and your pops getting you into wrestling. Same deal. Wrestling was always on in my house. Like, even when I was getting dropped off to my grandmother's, like, she's watching wrestling, you know? So it's a great thing. It connects, you know, families together, and it connects people together as well. You know, what we've seen here with, you know, content creators linking up here. So I'll put you on the spot here, Leo. So the people know, who's your all-time favorite?
Now that's a good one. I have so many different favorites, but if I have to pick one, I gotta go Randy Orton. Randy Orton is like my all-time favorite. Like, his different characters that he's had when he was with Evolution, even the Apex Predator later on, even when he was just like this crazy sadistic heel, just punting people into the next dimension, just kissing Triple H's wife after he'd punted him. Like, that just screams like one of the greatest heels to me. Like, if you don't think that's a great heel to me, then I don't know what is. So
I agree. So it sounds like you're more of a fan of you know, downright sadistic Randy. Like,
I am. You
want him to turn heel like very soon. Like, you're kind of over the whole babyface Orton vibe, right?
Yeah.
Now. I could sense that. Hey, he did his best work as a heel. I agree to that. So I'll tell you mine. It's Jeff Hardy. So I'm a Jeff Hardy guy. I'll always be a Jeff Hardy guy. So, you know, we got a little beef there. Randy and Jeff had some good matches together. You know, Jeff going off the Raw stage that time, man. Good times. So you mentioned it. You've been a content creator now for 4 years. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in the game. You've been doing it. What prompted you to want to become a content creator?
So there was a lot of different factors that became a part of me wanting to become a content creator. Some was sent like from the people that I looked up to, like people like BDE and the Vibe guys. Those were like the standard bearers of doing it. You see, I like Grim. He's another one. He's just hilarious. Just going, him just making a bunch of wreckage in the Walmarts, picking up stuff. Kind of just was very funny. And I kind of wanted to, that was kind of part of how my personality was too. Just being like that funny guy. Even my current day, and I think I started like in 2021, in the Clutch. That's a big community down here where I'm at in Texas. That those guys have definitely been very inspiring for me. They do stuff outside of the wrestling community, but like they always have some great takes in the as far as wrestling goes. And I would say my aunts. I think my aunts have played a big part of that. Even though they're sadly not with me anymore, but they do play a big part. And they very much inspire me to really just want to take that leap of faith and really just, you know, be myself again. I was in a dark spot at my time in my life. And wrestling was always that escape for me. No matter what it was going on, I could always just turn on, what if it was Raw, SmackDown, NXT, ECW, WCW, like, anything wrestling always just made my day. And for them to know that, they kind of played a big key factor for me to want to start. And it really started because of them, because I wanted to dedicate that to their memory. And that's kind of what really just started it.
I love that, man. That's beautiful. Yeah. And, you know, prayers up and God bless, you know. I love to hear that, and that's inspiring. So if you're listening, you know, you're watching, you know, don't feel like you can't do it. You know, you can do it. If you want to do it, do it. And Leo's a prime example of it, and he's doing the damn thing. And I love to see it, man. So, you know, you motivated me here some more. So that's beautiful, man. I appreciate you, you know, getting a little vulnerable here with us and sharing your story. And that's what people want to hear. You know, they want to hear, you know, why you do it, what made you want to do it, and why you're doing it. And, you know, I kind of follow up with a little hard question. And I'd say for me, you know, with this question, you know, the hardest part of making content is, you know, sometimes I fall into the imposter syndrome, right? What would you say, you know, the hardest part you found of making content over these last few years? Because, you know, maybe people don't realize, you know, what it takes, even on a small scale, like for myself, you know, what it takes to do it.
I mean, for me, especially like, you know, going back to what we said, like was me doing it for 4 years. I think the hardest part, I think, for me was really two things. It's really just coming up with different ideas that I want to incorporate with my channel to help my channel stand out. Sure. But also, you know, having that passion for what I do, not just doing it for X, Y, and Z, doing it because I love what I do. And on top of that, really just staying consistent. And that's just one of the biggest things that any content creator, you know, what if it's not even just wrestling, just in general, whatever it is, like, stay consistent. Like, don't do it because the money's there. Yes, that's where a lot of people contend to mess up. Do it because you love what you do. What if it's sports? What if it's acting? What if it's YouTube? What if it's wrestling? Whatever it is that you do, put your all into it and everything else will fall into place.
I love that. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to Leo. He's wise beyond his years. He's a young guy. You know, I'm a little bit of an older guy here, but he's wise beyond his years, and he hit the nail on the head. Stay consistent. Do it for the love of the game, and do it because you love it. And that's the number one thing that I love to hear, Leo. Are you ready to talk some wrestling? Wrestling to talk about. Let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, this past week on Monday Night Raw, we got the kickoff, the first round of the King and the Queen of the Ring tournament, one of my personal favorite tournaments, I might add. And we saw some round one matches for both of the sides of the bracket. What did you think about round one of the King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring tournament matches, Leo?
Yeah, I actually like them bringing back King of the Ring. I think this is a new spin on the new era that we're in, especially under the Triple H umbrella. He's definitely making it feel more important than it's ever been. Like, you look at King of the Ring, it was always seen as up there as the Royal Rumbles and the Money in the Banks. Like, you win that King of the Ring, you were pretty much next up to be world champion in the near future. And for a while, it lost its prestige because it wasn't viewed as being important. Like, there was no follow-up. We've seen them trying to revamp it over the previous years, but the winners never really had a big follow-up story afterwards of winning. We look at Xavier Woods. I think he was somebody that I think a lot of people were clamoring for because he wanted that whole King of the Ring to come back. And I thought that this would have been a great follow-up story for him, finally being able to get a singles title, even if it wasn't the world championship, but at least getting like an Intercontinental or US championship under his belt. But then he got fed to Roman. And even though it was DQ, but his character wasn't really the same afterwards, and it sucked. And then, you know, you look at other winners like, you know, Baron Corbin. It really didn't do anything for him, unfortunately. Sheamus, I would say, was probably like the last good winner, I would say. Decent
winner.
That's
what I was thinking.
King Barrett, it didn't do anything for him. It would have, it should have. Like, he was that talented. I really felt like he was one step away from being a main event star, and it just never fell through, unfortunately. So yeah. Now, you know, you seeing King of the Ring come back and has a new spin on it. You look at the competitors in there. Gunther, he talked about, you know, if he wins, he's going after the world title. That gave me flashbacks to what King of the Ring used to be. You win that whole tournament, you were next in line for a championship opportunity at some point down the line. And, you know, now we're getting, you know, Queen of the Ring back. You know, we only have one winner, that being Queen Zelina. Another winner that I was okay with, I think a lot of people at that time really didn't see her winning the tournament, just because I think a lot of people, you know, looking at it, especially with the lineup that we had, wanted to see Liv win it that year. You know, and it sucked that the women didn't really get a lot of time to be featured. Like, I think they had a stat where the whole tournament for the women had a combined of like 4 or 5 minutes total, which was like, why? Yeah. You have a talented stacked roster, but you're not showcasing them the way they should be. 100%. And it's like, you have, going back, and like with the tournament right now, this has the opportunity to be one of the very best that we've had just because of the star power involved. Like, you have Jey Uso, who's on a run of his career. You had Ilya Dragunov have one of the best matches. Him and Ricochet had one of the best matches. Honestly, that's like my match of the year so far for WWE.
Wow.
And it's crazy it's a hot take. And you think WrestleMania, that we had some great matches. We had Roman and Cody. We had Seth and Drew. Like, we had Rhea Ripley and Becky. We had Bayley and Io. We had some great star-studded matches. But Ilya Dragunov is a match-making machine. You put him up against anybody, he can make those guys a star. And Ricochet reminded a lot of people just how good he really is when given the green light to go.
No, oh, yeah,
this
gave
me flashbacks to NXT. He was one of those guys at NXT. I think a lot of people were looking at, like, people were happy to see Ricochet. But I think, you know, and then I think the only thing I look at the tournament is the way they kind of booked some of the matches. And the reason I say that, because a dream match that's never happened, Kofi Kingston versus Rey Mysterio, has never happened ever in the WWE, and yet they put that on a live event. Like, you can't put that on a Raw. You can't put that on main event, even. You put that on a live event. I get it. But, like, you could have just found a way to put that on the card some way, somehow.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was something I was pretty passionate about. You know, with when the matches were announced, you know, we had what was going to be a record amount of matches on Monday Night Raw for the first time in like 31 years, where you're going to have 8 matches to decide round one. And then, you know, we got the news, you know, early on Raw that, you know, Kofi and Rey and Shayna and Zelina was going to be flexed from Raw to WWE live events. And, you know, Leo kind of, you know, aired his thoughts on it. You know, that was, you know, that's a shame. And I agree, that was the one misstep for me with round one, was removing those two matches from Raw. You know, I mean, we could have probably maybe cut down the, you know, maybe opening segment, or, you know, kind of found the time throughout Monday Night Raw. I've got the shirt on. You know, let's talk about it.
Okay.
We got some tension, ladies and gentlemen. If you saw Backlash last weekend in France, which was one hell of a crowd.
It was.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Damian Priest was not happy with Finn Balor and JD McDonagh sticking their heads in his championship match against Jey Uso. Now, to be honest, if it wasn't for those two guys, he might have lost that title. So he kind of grabbed Finn Balor by the face and kind of got up in his grill. And now it seems there's some tension here in the Judgment Day. Now, the social media detectives, ladies and gentlemen, and I have to say, there's a lot of social media detectives. Yeah. If there's a cold case out there, we might be able to find the culprits with just the internet. They noticed that Dominic Mysterio and Liv Morgan last week left from the same room. And now this week, they noticed that Dominic started Raw with his purple bandana. And then, in fact, it was in Liv Morgan's pocket on her Instagram picture. Now, Liv Morgan has said many a time she's coming for everything mommy has. What do you think about this, Leo? Do you like the subtle details with this story that they've been cooking up for us?
Yeah, I really do. I think this has the opportunity to be one of the best women's feuds, like, in recent memory, if done right. Like, you have, I think a lot of people kind of make this comparison. Liv Morgan is the Drew McIntyre of the women's division right now.
She really
is. I think people, like, look at her as a heel, but it's a justifiable heel. She came back. She said she wanted Rhea Ripley. She wanted revenge on Rhea Ripley for taking her out. And what did she do? She took her out. And then people are booing her. I think this is going to be a great way because she's, like you said, she wants to take everything from Rhea Ripley. She wants to take the championship. She's on track to doing that as early as King and Queen of the Ring because I feel like she's going to.
I think so too.
And I feel like Dominic might be involved. What we've seen recently, Damage Control, maybe.
Maybe.
She left and she said, hey, that's not my problem. Because honestly, and this goes to what you were saying with the Judgment Day, I say she, not only does she, you know, win the championship, I say she joins the Judgment Day. She takes over Rhea Ripley's spot as being this quote-unquote leader, new leader of the Judgment Day. And I feel like with Damian Priest there, I think that's going to cause a little bit more dissension because I feel like Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley are attached at the hip.
Yes.
They're like brother and sister. They're always having each other's back. I think, like, at some point, Finn will turn on none other than Damian Priest. I can say, honestly, he might even win Money in the Bank this year because it's a full circle moment. What happened last year? Damian won the briefcase. Finn Balor was competing for that world championship. And Finn Balor was looking at Damian Priest and was like, you're not going to cash in on me, are you? If I win. But then it comes back full circle. Damian says, you're not going to cash in on me. And then Damian's like, and Finn's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Right.
And he does it anyway. He says, You thought I needed that championship. And he does it in the most conniable way possible. And this proceeds to have, like, Damian and Rhea pretty much try to start their own faction to combat the new Judgment Day of Rhea. Like Rhea and Damian, maybe they try to get Rey Mysterio. Because you know Rey Mysterio and Dom got some history. You know they got a little heat.
Right.
You know,
okay.
Maybe you could have a new member be joined on side of Liv. Maybe she brings in somebody who recently got drafted. Maybe a Dijak. He's somebody I think would fit great in that faction, honestly. A lot of people might see that's like a mismatch. And honestly, you can have Liv be like that new mommy of the women's division and the Judgment Day. And she's corrupted. And I know people have been throwing around this idea of custody of Dom. What if by chance they not only do that, but I have a feeling with as gruesome as this feud is going to probably get, I say maybe you can, if it's possible, drag it out to WrestleMania. And you finally put an end to this feud. And the only way you can end a grueling feud like this, inside a Hell in a Cell match.
There it is.
Do it at WrestleMania.
I like it. I like it, Leo. You're cooking. I really like the story of, you know, Finn winning Money in the Bank. You're the first person that I've heard, you know, content creator podcast wise that, you know, wants Finn to win Money in the Bank. And that's a good little background story that people may have forgotten over the last year, because a lot's happened in wrestling, you know, and a lot's happening in hip hop, ladies and gentlemen. And if you've not been keeping up, ladies and gentlemen, Kendrick and Drake are going at it, and Kendrick pretty much ended Drake's career. So it's over.
Oh, Lord.
See you later, Drake. We're no more
a
Drake.
New line of work, Kendrick.
Exactly. New line of work. Catch him at McDonald's flipping burgers and fries in the sixth. Now, speaking of, the reason I bring this up, Leo, is we've got a lot of haters in WWE. You said Liv Morgan is a hater just like Drew McIntyre. Speaking of Drew McIntyre, he is a hater of one CM Punk. We also have Chad Gable being an absolute hater and suplexing Sami Zayn out of the clutches of his wife. And just, it's on site for all of these guys. Now, I'm going to ask you one simple question. Out of those lists, you got Liv and Rhea, you got CM Punk and Drew, you got Sammy and Chad Gable. Which one of those haters would you say is the Kendrick and Drake of WWE right now? Because I'm saying Punk and Drew.
Yeah, I'm the same. Punk and Drew, like, they're just throwing shots at each other. Like, you just can't keep them in the same building, because one is just going to fight the other. You literally just had Punk come out on Raw. He says, I'm a choke artist. He's pretty much referencing what happened in AEW between him and Jack Perry. He choked him out. He choked Jack Perry out and sent him to New Japan for a couple of months. Like, let's be honest.
Was the scapegoat. He's the label that's the scapegoat right now. Now he's a part of the EVPs. I'm going to talk Dynamite later, but there's a whole gaggle of shit with that one. No, I love it, dude. I think this is such good shit, you know? Yeah. Like, when was the last time you had this much hating on Raw?
Here's another one that people forget. AJ just recently, a couple of months ago, in the chamber. He flew over, 30 hours just to cause LA Knight not winning the championship and going to Mania. Like, come on. That's really where the hater of the award started right there. Started with AJ. He's the originator of being a hater.
I don't know about that one. I feel like it started with Christian. I feel like the hating started Christian, in AEW with Christian. I think Christian was the one that kind of ushered in this, I hate you, like, I hate your father, I'm glad your dad's
started
dead
with him.
Type shit.
And then it just spread over to WWE.
Everywhere.
It started with AJ and then just went down to Drew and the Punk stuff. Like, I would even say Roman and Cody for a while. You could have said them, because they just couldn't stand each other.
I'll give an honorable mention to The Rock and Cody. I'll give an honorable mention to Dirty Dom and Ray. I mean, that's just pure. Yeah, you know, that's pure hate.
And that's
right
family
there.
Right there.
And that's you know, a, it's different close, when it's
it's the close ties that cut deep. He called him a deadbeat on live television.
And dude, you got JBL calling him a deadbeat in the draft, and then he's now drafted to Raw, deadbeat dad Rey Mysterio.
And then he blames his dad for sending him to jail, and then he talked about what prison did to him, and then he had to console his mommy, but apparently he's going to have a new mommy very soon.
Oh,
another tie-in
goodness.
People just don't understand. Both Liv and Dom have been to jail. So they have a tie-in. They've been doing hard time.
If my man Mike was here from Out of Pocket, he would hit you with it. That's Out of Pocket. All right. Last question for you. Here we go. When we're talking at Raw, we got the brackets. We know what's going on. Give me your pick. Who's your King of the Ring? Who's your Queen of the Ring when it's all said and done next week in 2 weeks in Saudi Arabia?
Now, this one, I've been – for the men's, it's kind of a little bit more unpredictable. I think the finals is going to come down to LA Knight and Gunther. That's my pick. Either LA Knight and Gunther – or you could do Gunther and Carmelo Hayes.
Now I was thinking Gunther and Randy Orton in the finals.
Gunther and AJ, that's another one. But
that's another banger.
Honestly,
there's a lot.
Who I think is going to win? I think it makes the most sense to have Gunther win here. I think it's a foregone conclusion, seems like, the way they've been presenting him and the caveat and what at stake for him winning. I think if you're going to dangle that in front of the fans' face, you kind of got to go through with it. Yeah. Now, the women... honestly, it's only one person. It's always her time because it's Tiffy time. I say Tiffany Stratton is winning Queen of the Ring.
Wow. Good.
And she's going to carry that into the summer, and she's winning that Money in the Bank ladder match.
Ooh. Ooh.
The summer of Tiffy Talk is going to be upon us.
We might be on officially. I'm trying to make this a thing, but we might officially be on Tiffany Standard Time soon.
Yeah.
Is a possibility. See, now I went in a different direction. I'm going Io Sky for Queen of the Ring.
That's a good one.
The genius of the sky becomes the queen of the ring. Keep an eye on it.
That's a good one.
Keep an eye on it.
I actually like
that. Now, we got a little bit more to talk about here, folks, before Leo's gotta unfortunately leave me. But we got to talk about NXT. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer in NXT. And I've said many a times on this show, if you've caught it, if you're sleeping on NXT, wake the fuck up.
Yeah.
Speaking of people sleeping, we got a mysterious vignette during NXT this past week that someone was snoring. So it looks like Wendy Chu might be on her way back.
Yeah.
But the whole overarching theme here tonight is welcome back to Wesley. We didn't know if Wesley was going to ever wrestle again, but he's back. He had a match against Josh Briggs, which he won. And the whole overarching theme of NXT tonight, Leo, was the NXT Women's Combine to determine the 12 women for the NXT North American Women's Title Tournament. What did you think about the Women's Combine? I thought this was a very clever idea. I hope to see this down the line again, maybe for the men, maybe for the women again, both. I think this was slick. How did you feel about it?
I actually thought it was a great concept to showcase these women and what they can be capable of doing. And you're showcasing, you know, some potential prospects and stuff in the future of your women's division. I feel like the entire women's division, not in just NXT, but WWE, is as best as it's ever been. And you're seeing more women be showcased. You have Sol Ruka, who's been showcased prominently. You've had Thea Hale, who's been trying to do her own thing. You have Jada Parker on the come up. You had the recent return of Mia Yim and Ivy Nile being part of this. Those are some women that can definitely help elevate this potential NXT North American Championship for the women's division to new heights and help establish these women. Like, those are some women that you can definitely use to kind of build that division around. And I, like you said, I would love to see them do that with more of the men going forward. Maybe I wish at some point they brought the Cruiserweights back, because the NXT Cruiserweight division was so fire to me. You had Leo Rush doing his thing down there. You had Angel Garza. You had Swerve Strickland doing their thing. Like, I would have wished they had the division and kind of use that right now to kind of help elevate these Cruiserweights to really showcase themselves, that they can really go in the ring instead of just being used as just punching bags for, like, the bigger wrestlers. I really enjoyed it. I really hope that they continue to use this concept in the future.
Me too. So let's take a look here at some of the names here. So when we're looking at the combine, I'll flash this up here for the viewers on YouTube. So coming in at number one, we got Sol Ruka with an overall score of 95. Not surprising at all.
No.
Number two, Thea Hale, 93. Jada Parker, 91. Brinley Reese, 91. Mi Shin, 91. Fallon Henley, 90. Lash Legend, 90. Ivy Nile, 90. Izzy Dame, 90. Kalani Jordan, 89. Tatum Paxley, 88. And Ren Sinclair wraps up the 12 at 85. So out of those 12 women, who's your favorite to win it all? Because I'm saying, and this is a hot take, but I want it. I think she's earned it. I think she's in a spot right now, especially what we're going to talk about next when it comes to Trick Willy Wonka. I'm going Lash Legend as the North American Women's Champion.
I mean, you can't go wrong with having them be like the potential power couple? NXT.
My man, he sees it. He sees the vision.
I mean, I think she's definitely one of the front runners, honestly, especially what it seems like based on what they've been presenting, that she could potentially leave the metaphor and potentially join up with Trick Williams, which is something I would love to see. I think there's so many different women. I think somebody even mentioned maybe Mia Yim wins it. Maybe if Mia Yim shockingly wins it, and you can use this to kind of be the gateway to get that title be used on the main roster and kind of go back and forth, kind of be going back and forth and kind of have that first tease that a potential main, like a mid-card title, could be used on the main roster, and this could be used as the gateway to do so. But who, as far as I think is going to win, I'm just like you, Mike. I'm saying Lash Legend. I think it's her time.
Let's go. I was pulling for her in the Iron Survivor Challenge back in December. I said it
honestly,
you know, they call Mello him, but I think Lash Legend is her. And speaking of the metaphor, Lash Legend, Trick Willy Wonka, as he called himself, what do you think about these? What do you think about these kind of, I guess, horny, kinky, freaky segments we've been seeing on NXT? Because we're kind of going back to the NXT 2.0 days with a little bit of this. I don't know if you used to watch.
I did. I stuck around for Nickelodeon during that time. that's where he's the NXT 2.0 Nickelodeon. NXT 2.0 was Nickelodeon.
That's good right there.
I think it was cool. It kind of, I was like, this ain't PG. I was like, where's the R-Truth? I say, where's the R-Truth meme when you need him? Like, that ain't even PG. I said, are we about to head into like a more edgier product? And it kind of dawned on me that we could be going in the route of having a more edgy product. Just Raw, because, you know, they're going to be on Netflix. They might be TV-14. I wouldn't rule that out for NXT as well, because they're going to the CW later this year.
There it is.
They might let them kind of let loose a little bit and kind of get away with a lot more stuff. As long as you don't do what NWA did, as long as you don't pull that out of the cards, then you're good.
Yeah,
because that they just screwed that up
for themselves.
They just screwed up a big TV deal, and I was very excited because I was going to tune in more for them.
Yeah,
and I was like, well, okay, you just ruined it.
For wrestling fans, for the most part, I'll speak to it firsthand. Like, it's ease of access. Like, if I could tune on CW and I can watch NWA, I'm going to probably watch it 9 out of 10 times, you know? Same thing with Impact, you know, TNA. Like, it's hard to watch it. I can't get that on my cable, so I can't watch it, you know? So, look, I like it. You know, you mentioned it again. Mia Yim, Ivy Nile, main roster talent showing up in NXT. You know, we saw it with Baron Corbin. We're seeing it with the Good Brothers. You know, a little too sweet. Do you like more main roster stars appearing in NXT? Because I'm a big fan of it. I like it. If they're not doing anything on the main roster, if they're not going to be on TV, send them down to Florida. Because Shawn Michaels, he'll find something for him.
Yeah, I actually think this is a great move. You've seen a lot of people come down to NXT, and I think a lot of people from the outside looking in, they see it as a demotion. Back then, you can see it as the demotion, but now, this is a different era that we're in. You can go down to NXT, and if you've been kind of floundering on the main roster, not having much to do, your luck is not on your side, go down to NXT, and you can change your look, and you can turn your career around and revitalize your career. Look what happened for Baron Corbin. This guy was pretty much jobbing out, went down to NXT, was in the main event scene and teamed up with Bron Breakker and got himself more over than he's ever been since he first came up from NXT originally. You look what happened with Apollo Crews having some great matches. Look what Ricochet did. He came down, had some great matches with Carmelo Hayes. That was a great match. You look at what happened before she was released with Dana Brooke, now asked by Elegant. She went down to NXT. She was being used more prominently week after week, more than she's ever been on her entire run on the main roster.
100%.
So it's not always 100%. A bad thing going down to NXT. You can be used better. I would say sometimes the grass is greener on the other side. And sometimes going down to NXT could be like the best thing for you. Because with how the roster is now, if you're not this bigger than life wrestler or have been around a lot of the times and haven't really gotten back on your investment, a lot of these wrestlers are getting future endeavor because they have nothing for them. And it sucks that a lot of these people tend to fall in that category, but this is why I always say a women's mid-card title is needed, because a lot of the women, if you are not being fed to the four horsewomen at one point and you were just put in a random tag team, you were floundering with nothing to do unless you were going to be in the Royal Rumble, Money in the Bank for a few of you, and then that's it. You had nothing else to do besides to be fed to the champions. Look at what happened with Rhea Ripley. A lot of these people who had nothing to do but could have been had something interesting got fed to Rhea Ripley and were never seen again. A prominent example, Xia Li. She had the run of her career when she was facing Becky when she was, doing her stuff in NXT.
That's a damn shame.
And it sucked. When I seen that and I seen that NXT was doing their thing and, they was bringing this women's mid-card title in, she was the first name that came to my mind. I said, put her down at NXT and let her go after that mid-card title.
That's it.
She's going to put on some great matches with any one of those women.
100%. The women's division in WWE NXT is insane right now. I'd say it's probably one of the best out there. You know, you'll find even because, you know, you can argue some of these women have only been wrestling for 2 years. Look at Tiffany Stratton. You know, what a climb. You know, 2 years in wrestling total, folks. Like, yeah. Not just 2 years in NXT, 2 years wrestling. Period. She's on the main roster. She's getting cheered in Australia. She's getting cheered in France. And speaking of another one here, Chelsea Green. I love me some Chelsea Green.
Yeah.
She took on Roxanne Perez for the NXT Women's Championship in the main event of NXT. Pretty solid match. I would have liked to see Chelsea win it, but I understand Roxanne needs to retain it. But we did get a hilarious backstage
with Ariana Grace. Yeah.
With Ariana Grace.
Put them as a tag team.
I would love to see them as a tag team. That's what I was just about to say. Would you love to see them as a tag team, Leo?
Yeah, they have the same type of gimmick in a
sense.
It's
the same thing.
I think the thing with Chelsea, she's definitely somebody that gets the business. She adds a lot of comedic aspect to her character, doing this Karen type of character, and it's getting over. You can tell by the perception that she's getting on the shows that she's a part of, and now she's recently went over to SmackDown. She's somebody that I would love to see compete against Bayley at some point. I think those two can actually have a great match. She's somebody that I think, if it's not Tiffany Stratton winning this Money in the Bank, she's going to be the person I'm going to turn to. She's both of those women are like my front runners to win this entire thing. Either if it's Tiffany Stratton winning it, or it's going to be Chelsea Green, one or the other.
Got it.
Both of those women deserve that accolade to their resume.
I agree, 100%. If one of them win Money in the Bank, I'll be a happy camper. Preferably, I want Chelsea Green. I think Tiffany could win the title off of her down the line. I think Tiffany could win it in a match. But I think Tiffany's a good shout for Queen of the Ring. I like what you said earlier. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it here for NXT. Thank you so much to Kicking It with Leo for kicking it with Mike here so we could talk a little bit of Raw and NXT. Now, you'll catch him again here in the final mouth off after, you know, we get through AEW this week. But before we get into SmackDown, as you'll notice here, I've got this beautiful United States Championship sitting on my desk. You can see the side plates, you know, Yankees, big Yankee guy here. Shout out to Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, you know the deal. Look, the reason I've got this title here on my desk is I usually don't. Now, you've never seen this here on Mouthing Off with Mike, so if you're listening on the audio side, just know I got the United States Championship on my shoulder here. The reason I've got that title here is we've got, it looks like, after a promo with Cody Rhodes and Logan Paul on SmackDown, we've got ourselves a title versus title match with the American Nightmare taking on the Maverick at Queen and King of the Ring in Saudi Arabia. Cody calls Logan a dumbass, Logan being the heel, the really good heel that he is. Like, we need to talk about it. It has been said many a times here on this show by me and others that have frequented my show that Logan Paul is damn good at what he does. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen, he is damn good at what he does. So he makes it all about him, you know, that he's been the fuel for the spaceship that is WWE. Cody's like, no, just stop. Grabs his hand, puts the mic down. Cody goes on, calls him the dumbass. And it's setting up what I think is going to be a really solid match. Look, Logan Paul's went for that title now twice in Saudi Arabia, once against Roman, and now against Cody Rhodes, the new champ. So I'm all for it. And to be honest, Cody Rhodes wins. He becomes U.S. champ. Like, the things are still muddy on that if it is going to be title versus title. But Cody's tweeted multiple times for all the gold. So I'm assuming, you know what they say about assuming, that the U.S. title and the WWE Undisputed Championship will be on the line at Queen and King of the Ring. Now, speaking of King and Queen of the Ring, ladies and gentlemen, we've got some matches tonight on SmackDown. Now, unfortunately, WWE doing us dirty once again. We were robbed of LA Knight on SmackDown. Sad yes. Yeah. His match against Santos Escobar, has been moved to WWE live events this weekend, so as you're listening to this, you may have already known the results of who won, because I'm not quite sure when those events are, because this will be coming out Sunday morning. So you'll get to listen to the Sunday and Monday before Raw of next week. But yeah, very interesting decision. You know, we moved Kofi and Rey to the live events this weekend. We moved Shayna and Zelina. We moved Tiffany Stratton and Mishin. And we moved LA Knight, yeah, and Santos Escobar to the live events this week. So I'm not too happy about it. And WWE social media, I hope you posted these matches, because next week's episode, I will be pissy. You don't want that. Now, as for these King and Queen of the Ring qualifying matches, we kick off with Nia Jax taking on Naomi. Fantastic, fantastic match here from Nia and Naomi. These two, they're both technically in the bloodline. You know, if you caught me on out of pocket this week, I said, how about the ladies in the bloodline? Now, Nia was rocking some red here against her match against Naomi, and Nia was able to beat Naomi with the Annihilator. And she said, you know, I'm sorry, I love you, when she left the ring. I don't know if anybody caught that. I don't even know if WWE socials caught that. But really great opening match here between Nia and Naomi. These two women are special, man. We had a DIY video package. We had a Blair Davenport video package. And we had an Andrade video package. All really good to help build up this new star we're seeing on SmackDown. We've got new stars. Draft happened. DIY, Andrade, Blair Davenport called up. So we've got to make all of them feel important on SmackDown. We had a Carmelo Hayes taking on King Corbin, and I am absolutely loving the decision to keep Carmelo Hayes' character the same as his end of NXT run, because look, he's damn good in this arrogant, cocky, like, I'm better than the veterans, and I'm going to prove it to them. He's got a match against Baron Corbin, who just reinvented himself in NXT. And burn the ships, Baron Corbin, this character has been so good. He's going out there, he's hitting brain busters, he's doing Death Valley drivers. The guy's going crazy in the ring. Like, he has awoken something that was sleeping for a while that really I haven't seen from Corbin since 2018, really. Hayes gets the win against Baron Corbin with a quick roll up. Then we transition right into Jade Cargill taking on Piper Niven. And I don't know if I can say it without getting in trouble, but give me more of this. Yo, give me these big muscly women, these big meaty women bumping meat, because this was damn good. This was a damn good match. Dare I say this was Jade Cargill's best match in WWE, maybe her best match all time. Now, time out. She's had some really good matches. Don't get me wrong. But this was damn good. They flowed very well here. Piper Niven, give her more opportunities in the ring. This is me giving Piper her flowers. She went out there. She had a great match with Jade. Made her look like $1 million. Jade hit Jaded on Piper. Sold it like money. Jade advancing in the Queen of the Ring. Bianca beat Candice in a fairly quick match. Candice and Indy did focus on Bianca's knee in this match, which I thought was very smart to tell the story of Bianca being damaged throughout this tournament, so that if Bianca were to lose to Tiffany or Mishin, whoever may advance on that side of the bracket, that Bianca would probably lose to Tiffany because she's not 100%. So everyone already assuming that it's going to be Jade versus Bianca in the semifinals for the SmackDown side. I don't think that's the case. They sold the story of Bianca having the damaged knee. So I think Tiffany will capitalize that when she beats Mishin this weekend, and therefore Tiffany beats Bianca, and you get Tiffany and Jade. Now, that's a very interesting match on paper because neither woman can lose that match. I like it. I don't like Jade and Bianca being in this tournament. There was easily two other women on the SmackDown roster that you could have had go in this tournament. Blair Davenport, Tegan Knox, two names right off the top of my head. If not other names on SmackDown that were drafted, maybe Indy Hartwell as well. Nevertheless, I'm going to let it play out. I just wish that we would have followed up this massive tag team title win for Jade and Bianca with setting up their next challengers. Now, that doesn't mean they can't do it in this tournament. And if what I'm seeing so far is true, it looks like their next challengers will be Candice and Indy. So keep an eye on that. Candice and Indy hurt Bianca's knee. Bianca loses to Tiffany. She goes back, says it's their fault. Jade's got her back. That's her girl. That's her partner. We get into Jade, Bianca versus Indy, Candice. It's there. They're just not putting it in your forefront yet. I see all things, ladies and gentlemen. I see it all. I'm the seer, the watcher. I see the details placed before our feet, just like the details have been placed for the new Wyatt Six family group that we're seeing these mysterious videos and QR codes for. It's working on all levels. I love it. Keep it up. Can't wait to see who is in this family, quote unquote. Tama Tonga defeated Angelo Dawkins. Angelo Dawkins looked great in this match. A lot of people, you know, Montez Ford, give him a singles run. But look, don't sleep on Dawks, man. He's really good in the ring, guys. He's a really good big man. He's a good big man to have out there. Thanks to some bloodline shenanigans outside, Solo Sikoa, Tangaloa, who debuted at Backlash to aid the bloodline, beating KO and Randy Orton. Randy Orton tapping into that 09 Orton tonight with a promo before his match against AJ Styles in the main event. He's coming for Tama Tonga, and I think that will be the final match in the SmackDown side. It'll be Tonga versus Orton. Whoever wins that takes on Gunther at King of the Ring. That's my prediction. I've said this many a times. You'll hear me say it throughout this show with Leo. If you haven't already listened to that, if you only listen to the SmackDown side, then so be it. Love the bloodline story. Love the direction we're seeing. Paul, very scared. Solo tells Paul, I talked to the tribal chief. He made me the head. He made me the tribal chief until he gets back. So I don't know if Solo's a liar, but Paul looked distraught here. AJ Styles, Randy Orton, another chapter in their fantastic matches. Man, if you were not watching 16, 17, 18 SmackDown over there, AJ Styles, Randy Orton, you had Jinder in the mix for a bit there. Don't hinder Jinder. Fortunate that they released him or his contract expired, but he's going to thrive on the indie scene very soon. I have no doubt in my mind. Orton, Styles have had some great matches in their past. This was another one into their book here. Randy gets the win here. AJ took a little bit too long on the phenomenal, the Styles Clash. Styles Clash. We rarely see the Styles Clash, so I'm always like, when we see it, I'm like, yeah, man, we got the Styles Clash, you know? Takes a little bit too long on the Styles Clash. Randy hits them, boom, RKO. But they add another fake RKO, fake out into their book here. They've done them in a lot of the recent matches between the two. I enjoyed it. Really good SmackDown. Great. King and Queen of the Ring tournament matches we saw on SmackDown. Unfortunate that they're putting some of them on the live events, but business is business, and sometimes you got to sell those live events. It might be in smaller towns. You may not have great ticket sales. Sometimes you got to sell them with the guys that you're going to see something that was going to be on TV. Therefore, I'm okay with it. We're going to get into AEW. We're going to finish with the final mouth off with Leo. Wednesday, you know what that means, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for all EVP wrestling. You like what I did there? I hope Nicholas and Matthew, your EVPs, don't find me. But hear me out, folks. All EVP wrestling. Once again, the opening video of AEW this week was a highlight reel of Nicholas, Matthew, Jack Perry, and Okada. Hilarious stuff. A classic AEW start to the show was kicking off with Orange Cassidy and Trent Barretta. Great match here. Fucking fantastic. Absolutely a hell of an opener for a Dynamite card that, to be honest, I had no clue what the card was. That's just how busy I was last week. You know, I really didn't even know. I knew the, you know, King and Queen of the Ring matches were happening for Raw, SmackDown. And I knew NXT was cooking with their Women's Combine. He had no idea what was going on AEW, guys, to be honest with you. But Trent and Orange Cassidy, fantastic match. Orange Cassidy beat Trent. And I was a little shocked by this. You know, we're pushing Trent as a heel. You know, we're pushing him as he hates Orange Cassidy. I would have expected to see Trent get the win here. He doesn't. After the match, he destroys Orange Cassidy once again. Now, it has been determined, and it has been said by Chuck that Chuck Taylor will no longer be able to wrestle after the match he had against Trent Barretta, and it turns out that's actually true. So very unfortunate. Chuck Taylor looks like will not be wrestling again, or at least for the foreseeable future. So thoughts, speedy recovery to Chuck. I'm so sorry that, you know, that happened. Now, if this is a story and they're working me, damn, you guys are good, because I wouldn't play around with wrestlers being told that they can't wrestle again as a story. That's just me. I know we did it with Mark Henry, the salmon jacket. I get it. We're a little bit different with that. This seems serious. I'm sad to see it, man. Chuck Taylor's really good talent. Really never got to hit his stride in AEW. He was with the Best Friends. He was doing things there, but would have definitely liked to seen a singles run. I think this would have been the time with Trent and Orange Cassidy. This would have been a good time to kind of break into that. So very unfortunate news. We also have news that Kenny Omega will be getting surgery for his diverticulitis. So thoughts, prayers, speedy recovery to the Best Bout Machine. Well, I guess now Okada's calling himself that. Very interesting Dynamite here tonight. We're ramping up on our build to Double or Nothing here, folks, in Vegas at the end of May. And it has been decided that Christian and Swerve will take place at Double or Nothing, and that match will in fact be for the AEW World Championship. Now, we had a timer during the beginning of AEW for their face-to-face later on. And to kind of conclude with Cassidy and Beretta, Don Callis is involved somehow in this footage. So I'm not quite sure what's going on with that. And Tony Storm got knocked out by Serena Deeb. Tony Storm, best thing in wrestling right now. Serena Deeb and Tony Storm should be a really good match at Double or Nothing. Glad to see Serena Deeb back healthy. She said that, you know, she had three seizures that, you know, was undecided, like, you know, undeclared, like what they were stemming from. So very scary for her. So glad she's back in the mix. You know, a lot of that theme here for this segment, a lot of, you know, thoughts and prayers, speedy recoveries, and, you know, staying healthy for a lot of these wrestlers. But, you know, that's wrestling, man. You know, these guys and gals, they go out there, they lay their body on the line for our entertainment. And you know, it's a damn shame that fans can't appreciate that, because there was unfortunate news out of the Ring of Honor tapings during these AEW, you know, during this run here, that two fans had to be ejected during Sky Blue's match because they were saying absolutely disgusting things. So, you know, much love to Sky Blue. It's a damn shame that women wrestlers have to go through that. I see it a lot on social media. Like, look, I get it. But man, it is to a point where it kind of saddens me a little bit. So shout out to Sky Blue. Shout out to Aubrey Edwards. And I believe it was Rachel Ellering for getting those fans kicked the fuck out of Dynamite. You know, we also had a weird dude on Dynamite. You know, I guess his girlfriend or his wife, like, flashed, you know, the camera. A lot of weird shit happened. and not in, like, the fun type of weird shit, like, just downright fucking weird shit. Like, you guys should be ashamed of yourselves. Like, look, someone's going to argue in the comments, like, well, the attitude, you would have never survived the attitude fucking era. No, it's different because he picked her shirt up, not her doing it for the shits and giggles. Way different discussion when you put your hands on a woman and you do some shit like that. So don't even sit there and defend it. A lot of weird shit. But on the wrestling side, good stuff here. Like I said, just I don't know how to do, like, what's going on, fans? Like, what are we doing? Mariah May, Harley Cameron, great match here. Harley Cameron proving some doubters wrong. A lot of people are like, oh, you know, she's only there for looks, blah, blah, blah. Once again, hating on women's wrestling. I don't understand why people need to do it. It's 2024. Sometimes, most of the time, the women go out there and steal the show from the men. Happens a lot nowadays. Good match here. Harley Cameron, proving haters wrong. Mariah May, good stuff here. We got a little bit of tease from Mina Shakira with Mariah May, a little kiss action. Things are pretty, I think AEW and NXT are trying to battle each other out for, you know, like, corny levels here. The whole Trick Willy Wonka thing and this champagne and kisses. Like, it's entertaining. Don't get me wrong. I'm entertained, right? So good stuff here. Bastard Pack, distraught. He's not too happy. Swerve Strickland, Christian Cage face off here. Classic Christian Cage talking shit. But what really surprised me here was the Mogul Embassy turned on Swerve. And the reasoning is something very interesting that Brian Cage tweeted. He said that Swerve picked the wrong cage for the match last year in All In, that Swerve won the title and forgot about them, and that this is, you know, payback. Good bit of storytelling. Very good bit of storytelling. You know, I kind of needed that context. Like, why would the Mogul Embassy attack Swerve out of the blue? Christian paid him. Okay, sure. No, the Mogul Embassy's pissed at Swerve. I like that. This was a right decision for the first title defense, well, second title defense, first on a pay-per-view for Swerve, because Christian's a guy who can lose this match and still come out the other side smelling fine. Swerve, on the other hand, I'm not a fan of the booking decisions up to this point when it comes to his championship run. Now, I am a strong believer, and I'll let things play out. I have to now, because I kind of jumped the shark with the whole Jack Perry footage, and then it turned into, you know, what I think is a pretty good story with the EVPs. But I get trying to build him up as a mega face, but having his group attack him and then, you know, he's got no one on his side. I get that's, you know, babyface storytelling. When you're the champion, target's on your back. I don't know. The timing on that was odd. You could have waited till after the Christian title defense. Because you could have told the story that the Mogul Embassy helps Swerve win and he doesn't give him the proper credit. And then that's when they attack him. And, you know, you give Brian Cage a title opportunity. He loses to Swerve. You move on. This is where things kind of like, there was a step taken too soon, I feel. And then there was a step taken where I think you could have taken a different step. That's just me. That's just my opinion. Once again, I'm a podcaster with my own opinion, just like everyone else has their own opinion. Willow Nightingale, fantastic promo. The question for Mercedes is, you better be ready. She's telling her, you better be ready, girl. Because look, maybe you just can't beat me. Rocky Romero lost to Jay White. And the Learning Tree, Chris Jericho and Big Bill squashed Mo Jabari and Harlan Abbott. I'm going to say it begrudgingly, folks. The Learning Tree shit is kind of working. Kind of. A little bit. I'm going to let it play out. Main event. Cope Open. TNT Championship. No DQ match. The Rated R Superstar taking on Brody King. And this was a fantastic fucking match for Dynamite. Adam Copeland, 50-something years old. I think like 52, 53. In that ballpark. Somewhere along that line. Guy's going out there, and he is the backbone of AEW Wrestling Weekly with the Cope Open. This Saturday on Collision, he's going to defend that against Kyle O'Reilly, that TNT Championship, after the successful championship defense against Brody King. These guys beat the shit out of each other. Like, Brody King is a big dude, and Edge was taking crazy moves. He's taking bumps through tables, getting spearing him through the ropes, through a table. God, if there was a flaming table set up, I'm sure Edge would have put him through it at that point. We had so much brutality in this match. This was a fantastic match. Adam Copeland, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the guy. Tearing the house down. And it makes me think, would this is what we would have been getting from CM Punk? Because Adam Copeland kind of fit that role right now. He's in that role. He's the vet. He's having matches with guys as a champion. You know, he's going to probably drop that title soon to someone, put him over big. But man, is he cooking right now? Adam Copeland. Shout out to him. I loved it. Dynamite this week, pretty solid. Rampage looks good. Virtuosa, Lady Frost going to be in action in a 3-hour block with Collision and Rampage. Thunder Rosa versus Robin Renegade. We got Cope Open, Adam Copeland, Kyle O'Reilly. Will Ospreay versus Lee Moriarty. There's some banger matches happening. You got Top Flight in action. Good stuff here. Collision, Rampage, 3-hour block was yesterday. I'm not going to cover it, but it probably would be talked about next week. I'm probably going to get Rampage and Collision talking about back again next week. Just time crunch and things like that. This episode's going to run long. So that's it for Dynamite, folks. AEW is really looking good here. Matches are filing in for Double or Nothing. I'm excited for it. I'm very tempted to further my credit card debt for Double or Nothing. I don't know yet. Haven't decided. Might do it last minute, like I did for the first Double or Nothing when I was there. It's a 5-year anniversary, folks. I might be inclined to do it. We'll see what happens. Thanks so much here for listening. We're going to get into the final mouth off. That's it here then for this episode. Leo is back here on Mouthing Off with Mike. We're in the final segment of Mouthing Off with Mike, the return of the final mouth off. Ladies and gentlemen, you saw me do it last episode. I had what I call a new segment, Mike's Memorabilia Moment. So I'm kind of going to combine these two things here together. I'm going to put Leo on the spot. He was already prepared, but I'm going to put him on the spot. He's a wrestler and fan. He's a memorabilia collector. He's a merch collector. So what is a piece of merch that you hold near and dear, or a memorabilia that you hold near and dear to your heart?
So it's crazy. I actually have two. So okay. This one was my first shirt that I got as a WWE fan. And I got this all the way back in 2016. This is when I started kind of collecting stuff. I had stuff as a kid. I had like the titles and all that. Sure. But this was my first shirt that I got. And it was this Dean Ambrose. When he was WWE champion at this time. This was my first shirt that I actually got. And it really just started me wanting to collect more shirts. I think currently right now, I think I have like 50 plus shirts right now. Like, and it's crazy.
Good collection.
And then the other one was the Intercontinental Championship. Like, this was like my favorite. Like, I had so many titles that I used to love growing up, but this one was always my favorite. Like, seeing like Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, and all these different wrestlers hold it, and then seeing the white strap always was my favorite. It was like the creme de la creme of titles of all time. You put any championship, anybody can look good with that championship. Like, a white strap is what we need more of in wrestling. We need more white straps on titles. More white straps on titles, because that right there, and I remember watching, I think it was Hell in a Cell, and seeing Cody Rhodes bring back that white strap, and I loved it. I loved it, because even the title that we had before that, I think was like the Globe, I actually liked it.
Yeah.
I actually liked the Globe when it gave me like that Attitude Era, this old school feel, but the classic feel of the Intercontinental Championship, you can't go wrong with. I really wish it was still around, because it's like,
me too.
You can't go wrong with the white strap Intercontinental title. Just imagine that title being on the waist of Gunther.
Oh,
and now
so
Sami
good.
Zayn and a potential Chad Gable. Like, that title, even though it's a mid-card title, you put that title on anybody, it looks like a main event championship.
100%. I agree. That title, one of my favorite all-time titles. I was talking with the good brothers over at Championship Culture. If you're not familiar with them, folks, check them out. Same thing. White IC title clears every IC championship, even the current one. You can't beat that. It was crisp. It was clean. It looked so good. Whether a wrestler was wearing a t-shirt or they were wearing a full-on suit like Cody and some of the other wrestlers we saw during that time, that belt clear. So I like that shout out. Thank you for showing me some of your near and dear memorabilia. It's a new segment we're trying to work out. I want the rest of the fans to be able to showcase their stuff. You know, you guys see it all the time in my background. You see all these Funkos and all the chaos. So I want to see what you got. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, reach out to me on social media at @MOWM_podcast, because I want to see your merch too. Now, for the final mouth off, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to leave this up to Leo, because he's a guest on the show. So Leo, what do you want to talk about?
We could talk about anything wrestling. I'm just a wrestling fan. I'm just happy to be here. I mean, we could talk about anything, my man.
We could talk about anything. All right. So we'll do it this way. So while we're here, while we're talking about everything going on in pro wrestling, let's talk about AEW.
Okay.
Let's talk about it. So what do you think right now about the EVPs? Do you like the storyline you're seeing right now, or do you feel that they kind of maybe copy and pasted from someone else?
It's a little bit of both, I would say. I know people kind of who watch my streams, they know how I feel about the Young Bucks. Not really a big fan of the Young Bucks. A lot of people know I haven't been a fan of the Young Bucks, and I stand by this. The Young Bucks have not been relevant since their Ring of Honor days.
Woo.
I'm sorry. They were cool for a hot cup of coffee when they came in to AEW. But this EVP, I get it. They're being heels, and that's part of the character. They're committed to what they're doing. And if you are a character, you have to commit to what you're doing. You have to get the fans to buy into what you're doing. And they're doing that very well. They're getting booed wherever they want. They want to see people beat the living crap out of them wherever they are. And they might just get what's coming to them as early as Double or Nothing in the Anarchy in the Arena match.
How do you feel about that Anarchy in the Arena match? Now that you brought it up, I like the team, but I thought we would have seen Hangman involved. I like Eddie. I like Brian. I like FTR boys, but I expected Hangman in the mix just because Hangman and Kenny were former tag champs. They've had matches with the Young Bucks. You know, if you go all the way back to the inception of AEW, Hangman was suspended from the Elite. I thought everything kind of lined up for that to happen.
Yeah.
Now, that makes a little bit of sense in the storyline continuity-wise. Okada, Eddie got a little beef. You know, we got a little beef with Brian and Okada. We got a little... Everyone's got some beef there, right?
Yeah.
But I would have liked to have seen Hangman here. What do you think Hangman comes back into? You think Hangman comes back after Swerve?
You know what? I actually... So it's Anarchy and Arena. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the return of Hangman and he returns to help the Young Bucks and Okada. Because I feel like this is part of a story, and we've seen what the direction that they were taking him in before his quote-unquote suspension. He was a heel. He was slowly transitioning into being a heel during his feud that he had with Swerve when they were trying to battle up to see who's going to compete for the title. Right. I say he comes back, and it's a situation where it maybe, Bryan Danielson might have the match won or something, or one of the members of that team has the match won, and a black hooded figure comes in and just starts wreaking havoc, and then he unmasks, and it's Hangman. And then he's back, and he is back with the Young Bucks and Okada in the mix. Now, when you have Kenny Omega come back, he's going to have some words for not just the Young Bucks, not just Okada, but now to his former tag team, Compadre, in Hangman. And this is where I feel like it's a possibility. It's a small window that this could potentially lead to blood and guts.
Ooh, very good shout out there. I like that. Now, there's a lot of people in AEW that we haven't seen in quite some time. There's a lot of faces out, and there's a lot of names out with injury, you know, and Double or Nothing is an interesting pay-per-view because it's the fifth year anniversary of Double or Nothing. And I'll kind of leave it at this, and this will be kind of our last conversation, and we'll sign everything off here. Now, Leo, I'm going to give you a couple names here, and I'm going to ask you your chance out of the names. Who do you think is most likely to show up or Double or Nothing? All right. You ready? All right. MJF, Hangman, Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, or a mystery new signing. Who do you think has the greatest chance of showing up at Double or Nothing in the end of May?
Man, that's some good names right there. Man, this might, I love me some MJF. I'm ready for him to come back. Same thing with Hangman. I'm going to go on a limb here and I'm going to say Britt Baker. I think maybe it's a situation, because I feel like this story is going to continue. I think a lot of people are clamoring for Mercedes Moné to get that title. But I don't think she's not winning. The reason why, I can see a situation.
Say it, Leo.
Where there's two scenarios, and one of them can happen, and the other one will happen. The one that I think could happen is in that match, we could see something very shocking. And that is the TBS champion turn heel to cost Mercedes Moné the championship by using her Chris Statlander and the manager name?
Stokely
Hathaway. Using them to the advantage to keep her as champion, and you can prolong this story because now you have this story to where Mercedes Moné cannot beat the champion. She can't beat Willow. She can't get her hands on Willow and beat her because of she couldn't do it in New Japan. And now she couldn't do it in AEW. That's one scenario. I like it. Or there's a scenario where it looks like Mercedes might have Willow beat, but the lights black out and the ref might be down. We might have that real good old fashioned ref bump. Britt Baker makes her return and she turns. And she cost Mercedes Moné the match and the championship, leaving an opening for Willow to keep that title in her possession. And you
been
can go off and
saying
have
it for
them
weeks,
you.
And I'm so happy you said it, Leo. I've been saying it for weeks. I said it on social media weeks ago that I thought Britt Baker's gonna be in the mix here. Everybody's saying, "Well, Willow's gonna be a transitional champion, and
she's
Willow's gonna do this." She's not. They're cooking you. You don't even know what's gonna come because I'm more confident in the fact that Britt Baker shows up and starts the rivalry that we want to see: DMD versus CE. Oh, well, there you have it, folks, here on this episode of Mouthing Off with Mike. I want to thank Kicking It with Leo for joining me here. Thank you so much, my man. It really, really means a lot that you wanted to be on the show. Make sure you go follow him. Leo, tell the people where they can find you. I'm going to pop up all your socials here for the people as well on YouTube.
Yeah, so my channel is Kicking with Leo. I do wrestling content. I try to do reviews. I do live streams. I'm pretty much doing AEW live streams, WWE live streams. I'm trying to incorporate NXT here. I'm trying to incorporate TNA. I'm trying to incorporate different things as wrestling as a wrestling fan, because I'm trying to stay in the loop of all things pro wrestling. You can also follow me on Instagram. You can also follow me on TikTok. Like I said earlier, I'm trying to be more consistent on TikTok and post more things on TikTok as well. So go do those things. And once I say this all the time in every video, I'm on the road to 200, but the ultimate goal is 10K. When I do hit 10K, I will be doing a giveaway when one of you lucky fans will have the opportunity to win a WWE championship from WWE Shop. So if you want to start your collection or add another title to your collection, you know where to go. Subscribe to my channel. Give me the 10K, and one of you will have the opportunity to win a title.
So there you have it, folks. Make sure you go subscribe to Leo. His channel will be in the description of this episode. So get this man a 10K, win yourself a championship belt. And as I always like to end every episode of the show, ladies and gentlemen, just go out there and enjoy some pro wrestling. Thanks so much to Leo. Now they're off with Mike.